You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
In this next segment ahead, we're going to spend some time talking about one of the biggest issues, if not the biggest issue of the moment, and that is fire suppression, fire prevention, what we can do to be ready for fire season. And talking with us now is Napa County's Fire Chief, Jeff Bellia. Jeff, welcome to the show. Thanks for being on today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We were super focused a week and a half ago on the Board of Supervisors and what was called the Fire Summit, a whole session, day long, talking about all these issues. And in the end, they came up with a bunch of money for you to spend on some of these measures. So I think the first question in my mind is, what is it that you're going to be working on, and I say you, but all your crews and the coordination with different agencies, of course, what is the focus in terms of fire prevention and suppression?
Yeah, so as you stated, April 6th was a full day at the Board of Supervisors devoted just to all things fire, and one of the big topics or kind of the highlights of that meeting was the presentation of the Napa County's first and fully countywide wildfire protection plan. So there had been numerous community wildfire protection plans developed throughout the county with the individual fire safe councils. But what was really exciting about this is the first time that we've looked at the county in its totality, and that was a big project that was undertaken by the Napa Communities Firewise Foundation along with a lot of different stakeholders, including the Napa County Fire Department. It was really a scientifically based look at the vegetation or the fuels accumulation within the county, and then what we were able to do is, after taking that document, and then develop what we consider a five-year vegetation management plan for the county. We have a lot of projects that were listed. Over the 5 years, it's a little over $40 million. But the board really took a big step in making that start to become a reality by adding $6.4 million into the fire department's budget to start work immediately. In fact, within a couple days of the money being allocated, we started work up in the Circle Oaks community. We're starting work up in Anglin this week, I believe. And, you know, the thing that folks need to realize about vegetation management is in the wildfire arena, there's really three things that affect wildland fires and how they burn. One is the weather, the second is the topography, and the third is the fuels or the vegetation. So being able to only have input in one of those arenas, which is the fuels or the vegetation, this is a big step forward. I like to say, if you want to change the fire behavior, you have to change the fuels.
Because you've tried to change the weather and it didn't work.
I've personally never tried it, but
it always happens in science fiction movies, you know, James Bond villain or something.
Yeah, I've been told that you can't change the weather and you can't move mountains.
There you go. All right. So focus on the fuels. So when we talk about this, are we talking about thinning out existing forests? In other words, cutting down mature trees? Is it only focused on undergrowth or brush, as you might say? Is it raking the leaves, to quote former statements on this that we all laughed at but actually had a kernel of truth in them? Talk about the actual boots on the ground tactics, what that work will look like.
Yeah, so a lot of it is going to be creating what we refer to as shaded fuel breaks. And I think it's really important for the public to realize is we're just not going to go out there and denude large swaths of land of any vegetation. There's ecological benefits of vegetation. There's erosion benefits to where if we were to just completely scrape all the vegetation off the ground, that would create another set of problems. So really what we're going to be doing is selectively thinning some trees. The vast majority of large mature trees will remain intact. Their tree limbs will be limbed up, you know, 6 to 10 feet from the ground. We may do some selective thinning of the canopy, and that's really to help prevent what we refer to as a crown fire, where the fire is established into the canopy of the trees and is burning independently of the ground fire. The other thing we're going to go in and we're going to work on removing the underbrush, things like that. And we're going to use a lot of different techniques. Some may be going in and manually cutting and removing the brush, stacking it, and then coming back potentially in the wintertime when there's really not much of a wildfire hazard, burning some of that. It may include chipping. It may include using a masticator. There's a lot of different vegetation management techniques out there, and we're going to look to what technique is the most appropriate for each specific project. And it's also important that folks realize that we'll be doing all this in full compliance with CEQA. So we will have an environmental review that we have to complete before we start these projects.
Mm-hmm. Are there other states or other countries, for that matter, who have done this kind of thing successfully that we're looking to learn from?
You know, there's been a lot of success not throughout the country in vegetation management, a lot of success here in California. But to my knowledge, this is the first step where we've taken and looked at a county in its totality. A lot of times projects are hyper-focused in certain areas, but this is going to be a really neat project to go down with taking the holistic view at the county moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this kind of a specific, you know, for our region question, and regionally big region, California and all the way to the border, I guess. Typically, when we have the worst fires, it's when the weather pattern has air blowing from the interior toward the coast, or the winds out of the north or the northeast in our area. And I don't know if I can think of a case where it was the opposite. You know, if the wind is coming from the coast, a fire starts, it's just not the same. So are you able to use that as a starting point to say, if a fire begins, this is the direction it will go, and as a result, this is what we need to do for fire breaks or areas where we can stop a fire?
Well, you're absolutely right. Typically, the north winds are our more severe fire weather. However, we're looking at it all sides, because the difficulty in saying, well, if the fires are bad, fires are only when they blow from the northeast, which is true, we can't predict where the fires are going to start, right?
Mm-hmm.
So because that is such a big variable, we're looking at it just as in its totality of what we can do that is going to provide the highest level of protection for the communities. But we're also looking at these projects where they're going to provide a tactical advantage to the suppression of the fires. And really what these shaded fuel breaks are designed to do is they don't stop the fire. There's really not a lot of things outside of suppression that can stop a fire, and you can say that definitively. But going back to my earlier statement where change the fire behavior by changing the fuels, what we're doing is we're trying to create areas where the fire is going to burn less intense so that it is easier for our ground and aerial resources to suppress the fire.
So this what did you call it? Shaded
Shaded fuel brake.
Shaded fuel brake. So you're picturing, like you see in a movie, like a beautiful forest where there's not a lot of undergrowth. There's maybe some grass, but it's, you know, it's not brush. Like you said, branches are cut back so that it's a higher canopy as that would be natural, I suppose. Is that the picture that we'll see in these areas after you're working on them?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Seems kind of basic, simple to understand, really. There's nothing too fancy about that. You can imagine that the fire can burn through an area like that and not catch the canopy on fire and not jump and so forth, assuming you don't have, 100-mile-an-hour winds blowing.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of what we think of as fire breaks, and I know during active fires, bulldozers get into the routine, and you're actually trying to denude a certain strip of land to keep the fire from moving. Will there be an effort to build fire breaks in particularly endangered areas?
One of the projects listed is what we refer to as maintenance of some of the existing bulldozer lines that were put in.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go back and remove some of the grasses and undergrowth that has started to regrow on them after they were put in after the fires that we've had. Because it's maintenance of these fuel breaks is just as important as actually putting these fuel breaks in, whether it's bulldozer lines, shaded fuel breaks, and so forth. Because the vegetation always wants to return back to its natural state, which is heavy undergrowth and things like that. So we've been very thoughtful in our approach that we're going to ensure that we're not just going to go do a project and then walk away and never revisit it. And in 5-10 years, it's back to its natural state.
Yeah.
We have a maintenance regime built into this. So once we spend the money and the effort to put these fuel breaks in, we can ensure that we can maintain them in the future.
Will there be any use of prescribed burns or controlled burns to eliminate some of that undergrowth? Is that a possibility?
It's definitely a possibility. Yeah, very much a possibility, because that is an effective tool, but people have to realize it is not the only tool. So there's a few challenges with prescribed fire and so forth. So it is definitely something that we plan on utilizing, but it's not a one-size-fits-all type approach to each of these projects.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the early warning systems. We do have currently the camera system where you can see a plume of smoke coming up in the distance and know that a fire has started in the endangered areas. But there's a proposal for something higher tech and different. Can you describe that and what it would do if it's approved?
Yeah, so it's a new technology that's been used in Europe and other parts of the country where these cameras utilize what they refer to as artificial intelligence. So they're able to learn what are the signs of a fire. In other words, not only smoke, but heat waves or disturbance in the air above a fire. So those cameras, if approved and move forward, I believe they're saying it's going to cover 92 to 97% of the county. Those cameras are monitored 24/7 by a facility out of state, is my understanding. And then when those cameras detect a possible fire, then they will, the person monitoring it calls in to our dispatch center, and then we can initiate a response based on that. So I think it's good and it's exciting to leverage new technology and see where it goes. I think that it is going to be to our benefit and to the county's benefit to have this system in place. And I'm excited to try new technology in this arena.
Yeah, it sort of seems like a moment where you got to try everything that, you know, from the different approaches, knowing sooner where a fire is, being able to respond to it more quickly, and then hopefully your suppression techniques have made it less severe by the time you get there.
Right.
The other question that's been in the news a lot is about aircraft. Fixed wing versus helicopters, having crews stationed ready to go, both in the air and on the ground. So talk about a little bit of that issue. From your perspective, is a helicopter better than a fixed wing aircraft or vice versa?
A helicopter is in the vast majority of settings, especially here in the county, a helicopter is actually probably the most versatile and effective tool. Especially when it comes to something that is dropping water, because water has to be dropped directly on the fire's edge. And water being dropped out of a fixed wing aircraft at times is not nearly as effective as a helicopter, because the helicopter has the ability to slow its forward airspeed. In other words, hover and directly drop over a hot spot. They can fly a little bit lower, and they can fly in a little bit smokier conditions than fixed wing aircraft, especially in Napa with as many water sources that are available. They are able to quickly find a water source that is the closest to the fire. And by using that close water source, they can really reduce what we refer to as their turnaround time, the time from when they drop water, they go to a water source, fill up, and go back to the fire. Now, fixed-wing aircraft are very effective when they're dropping fire retardant. Because fire retardant, and everyone's probably seen the red stuff, or lack of a better term, the red or pink cloud that comes out of the belly of an aircraft when it's dropping retardant. That is very effective out of fixed-wing aircraft, because that retardant is, it actually coats the vegetation and helps to retard the fire spread. So in instances where it's, the topography is such that the fixed wing can't get in there, or the smoke is laying over a certain side of the fire, this aircraft can work off the fire's edge. We call it going indirect. They can paint strategic ridge lines or other areas, and that retardant will stay for several hours until the fire burns to it, and then retard it to where if you're dropping water out of a fixed wing aircraft, you don't have that ability, because the water will just evaporate before the fire gets to it if you're not dropping it directly on the fire's edge.
And so do I remember correctly that this fire season there will be one helicopter and a crew devoted to Napa County's needs? Is that true?
So there'll be one Type 1 helicopter, which can drop, depending on the helicopter type, about 1,000 gallons each drop. So that will be stationed here in Napa. The crew will be available in the county. And then also, CAL FIRE has, many people have seen on the media or in the news that we're upgrading our helicopter fleet to the Blackhawks or Firehawks. So we'll have one of those also stationed at our Helitech base in Lake County. And the really big difference with that compared to our Hueys is it drops 1,000 gallons each time, and it can travel much faster. So once that helicopter is airborne from our base in Boggs Mountain, it's only about a 5-minute flight before they're in Napa County and can start working on a fire for us.
Sounds like we are making some progress, and of course, looking at a particularly frightening-looking year with the way the drought has ratcheted up, and some people speculating that 2021 is going to be, you know, worse than we've had, which is hard to imagine based on what we had last year. What are your thoughts around that in terms of what the uncontrollable weather has out there for us?
Well. It certainly is much drier than we've seen in recent history. That is very concerning. But we still have the still have to see what the weather is going to hold for the summer. We could have an extremely dry summer with no north winds that may be to our benefit, or we may have large north wind events like we've experienced recently with the dry weather, and that could present a lot of challenges. And that's really why we really want to get the message out to homeowners that you need to start creating your defensible space around your home.
Mm-hmm.
That's the single most important thing that any homeowner or any property owner can do to help get themselves prepared for a fire. We feel so strongly about that, that we've, for the last several years, probably almost a decade now, we provide a free chipping service to the residents of unincorporated Napa, where if they go out, cut the brush around their home to create their defensible space, they can go to the Napa County Fire Department's website, fill out a chipping request, and then we will come out and chip that brush free of charge. While it's free of charge to the residents, it does come to a cost for the fire department, several hundred thousand dollars each year. But with the board's support, we feel that this is a very important program to continue implementing here in the county. In fact, we actually brought our chipping crews on about 2 months earlier this year than we normally would, just to help get the residents an extra jump start in creating their defensible space.
So defensible space and go bag and understanding of how and where you will evacuate and all those kind of things, good thinking process for people in the most high-risk areas. Talk briefly here as we wrap up about the Napa FireWise Foundation and the Fire Safe Councils. Is this a good resource for folks on these issues?
They are. They really are. So Napa Communities FireWise has been a longstanding partner here with Napa County Fire Department. And then they have, I think it's 12 individual Fire Safe Councils that are underneath their umbrella. Mm-hmm. Around specific communities here in the county. And, you know, they're a great resource. They're Napa FireWise is, like I said, we've been a longstanding partner and continue to be a longstanding partner. And they really get a lot of great information out to the public, as well as really help with making these vegetation management programs or projects, I should say, a reality for folks here in the county.
NapaFireWise.org, I think, will get you to the main website. And ironically, as we have been talking here, I just saw a story from the Press Democrat crossed firefighters on a 50-acre fire in Mendocino County right now. So there you go. We've been talking with Napa County Fire Chief Jeff Belia about the new suppression plan, and it sounded like from what you said, crews getting to work right away. This is happening now in some locations.
Yep, absolutely.
Right. Very good. Well, Godspeed to you and all your crews, and let's hope for some cooperation from the weather, and hopefully you won't have a busy season. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yep, absolutely, and appreciate you having me on this morning and being able to share the message of what we've been working on and what the residents here in the county can do themselves to help get prepared for this coming fire season.
Yeah, you bet. And the microphone is available to you anytime you have a message to get out. So just let us know.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much.
You bet. Take care.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa. 1440 AM at KVON.com.